Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're happy you can join us once again today. And as we talk about the assorted tax issues that we might discuss, or investment opportunities with real estate private partnership syndications that I'd like to make you aware of, please understand that you should first, before you do anything else, if you think you heard something you like, go talk to your current advisors, and let's make sure you heard it correctly, and let's further make certain that it will fit your facts and circumstances, hopefully in a positive fashion. But if you don't have existing advisors that opine in these topics of real estate taxation, retirement plan, investing in taxation, real estate private partnership syndications, and lastly, zero tax math strategies, all kind of melded into one. Feel free to go to our website at beaplannershow.com, and we will take a look at your facts and circumstances. If you'll be kind enough to fill out our Step 1, Form 1 client profile, and give you some idea of if or how we might be able to help you meet your objectives. I think that's as about as plain as I can make it on the admonition, whether it's my show or any other show. Don't just rush out and try things. Can be dangerous for your financial health. But anyway, I want to talk today again about the self-directed 401 trust, and I want to compare it to the other options that you, as a self-employed person, might opt for. And I guess I should probably start with defining what is self-employment. And it may not be necessarily what you're thinking, but in any event, self-employment does not necessarily mean you've got a full-time trade or business, you know, like a accountant, consultant, doctor, lawyer, small business owner. You know, you've got some sort of retail shop. It can also refer to a side gig. And, you know, in the case of a side gig, as long as it's something that you spend approximately 100 hours a year on, you will qualify to have a self-employed only retirement plan. And the one that we favor is the self-directed 401 trust. The marketing term that you hear bannered about is Solo K, and we prefer it for a number of reasons, and we'll get into some of those today. Some of them are not so obvious, in fact, and if you look at assorted websites that talk about solo Ks and they compare them to other types of retirement plans, which we're going to do today, you'll notice if you work in this area as we do, they don't discuss the best reasons to undertake that plan type if you qualify, and we'll talk more about that. But there are some intangible reasons that I would suggest outweigh the tangible ones that you will see discussed and that we're going to discuss here on the show today. But anyway, let's get started. I've got an article here that I want to go through because it's a pretty good summary, pretty good outline for us to focus on that was in Forbes back in March of this year. So it's very current. But in any event, I wanted to start with just generally why we're seeing more and more people that decide to work as a full-time self-employed person or as a side gig. And, you know, a lot of it is financial necessity, but some of it is because they realize the opportunities. There's things that we can do as self-employed folks that we don't have the ability to do if we're working for big companies. And you can do both, actually. I mean, you know, there's no rule against you having a side gig while you're working at the big company, and you can participate in both retirement accounts within the overall limitations. But anyway, the article that was in Forbes starts off by talking about how, you know, in recent years, many Americans have been quitting their jobs in record numbers in search of better pay and or more satisfying work. There's an undeniable appeal to being your own boss, but anyone considering self-employment should understand that it also means figuring out how to save for retirement on your own. And I guess I would go back and focus on that undeniable appeal description. And I, speaking firsthand, I can remember when I was 24 years old, leaving the big safe, or then safe, confounds of Arthur Andersen, the finest CPA firm in the world, regardless of the problem they had with Enron, which, as some of you may not be aware, in fact, most people aren't aware, that conviction was overturned 9-0 at the U.S. Supreme Court level. But of course, the damage had been done, and Arthur was, for all intents and purposes, out of business. But you haven't seen the SEC and the assorted other regulatory agencies put any other of the big, at that time, there were 8 firms. We called them the Big Eight. Now I believe there's 4. You hadn't seen them pull that stunt again because they didn't realize the impact it would have on the availability of independent auditors, along with some other things. Not that audits are really done by independent people. That's a whole nother discussion we could have, and I've long been critical of the, quote, audit concept in CPA world. I don't do audits, never done audits, don't want to do audits, and I feel bad for people that are mandated to have audits, company owners, because typically it's for someone else's benefit. It's rarely a value add in terms of the service that's being delivered to the stakeholders in the company, other than maybe banks, but it's really only a value add in terms of checklisting. Okay, we here's the annual audit. You know, an audit was done. Well, what does that mean? And I'm not going to answer that question because it'd be a whole nother show or three to get through that. But anyway, I remember when I was a young CPA, a couple years into my profession, that I decided to go off on my own. Actually, myself and a business partner at that time went off on our own, and we never looked back. You know, we picked the worst possible time in probably the city of Houston, maybe except for now, the mid-80s, late 1984, to go out on our own. And, you know, being young and somewhat naive is a great state to be in if you're going to make the decision to leave your job. And of course, the job, when you think about it, and this is something I took great comfort in, not at the time, but afterward, a couple years, I realized that, you know, we're all self-employed. We may not realize it, but if you're not producing current value to your company and your position of employment, you will not be there indefinitely. It's just not how it works. And you know, most companies don't describe employment as that, but that's essentially what it is. And if you small business folks like myself, you know that when you hire someone, you know absolutely that their tenure is going to be dictated by the value that they can deliver to your goals and objectives. And so I tell you, if you've got the skill set and you've got a valuable product, more so than a valuable commodity, I think that's a oxymoron, actually, valuable commodity. Most commodities tend to be of less value than unique deliverables. But in any event, from a tax standpoint, there's absolutely significant benefit to being self-employed. And I know there's probably listeners that are saying, well, where do you put having to pay the 15.3% self-employment tax? Which side of the benefit list are you going to put that on? And I'm just going to tell you, that pales in comparison to what you can do, as an example, with a self-directed 401 that's either going into a pre-tax or, even better, going into a Roth or going into a pre-tax knowing that, you know, your financial plan has you converting to the Roth style of the self-directed 401 at some point. It's not even close. It's not even close to the benefits that you will get as a employee at a company, whether it's a small, medium, or large size, a company where you're working for someone else. Not even close. And we may or may not have time today to get into some specific illustrations, but I'm going to give you the high-level view, and if you want more specifics, obviously you're welcome to connect with me. By the way, if you want to connect with me during the show or afterward, the number that I believe was given out at the top of the show, and if not, I'll give it to you here. It's 713-581-0195, and if you'll text me, or call me at that number. If it's a concept that's relevant to today's show, I might try to work it in, or question relevant to today's show. Or otherwise, I'll connect with you after the show. And for those of you that are listening in other markets, such as California or Dallas, the show that we're recording real time here in Houston plays on other days, but that doesn't mean you can't text me or call me. Feel free to do so. So anyway, okay, so back to the article. Americans have been quitting their jobs, record numbers. They want better pay and more satisfying work. Again, that might be transitory if you're not working for yourself, but they are quitting jobs oftentimes to create their own business. In any event, part of that job, or I shouldn't say job creation, although it is in some cases, part of that business creation is determining how you're going to save for retirement. when you're not self-employed, you no longer or when you are self-employed, I'm sorry, you no longer have the convenience and accountability of having your employer sponsor a retirement plan on your behalf. Luckily, you've got options when it comes to retirement savings. And we're going to take a look at those in this article, or at least what Forbes refers to as the best ones. And I'm going to tell you right now, there really is only one that's far and away the best option, as I've been discussing so far, and that is, of course, the self-directed 401 trust. So we start at the basic level of an individual retirement account, or IRA, as most listeners will know. And anyone who earns income can open an IRA, whether it's self-employment income or not. Individual retirement accounts come in two flavors: the traditional IRA, which offers an upfront tax break, and the Roth IRA, which provides tax-free income in retirement. IRA contributions are not considered a business expense, although they may help reduce your individual tax liability. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back momentarily with more about this first option for self-employed to use for retirement savings, the IRA. We'll be right back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at nprross.com. Nathan at nprross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and faded jeans. And there are many just like me with big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be A Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we had just started discussing an article that was in Forbes a few months back in March that discusses the best self-employment retirement plans for 2024. We brought up IRAs. We've got generally two types, traditional and Roth IRA, when it comes to those we can make contributions to. IRA contribution limits in 2023, individuals can contribute up to $6,500 for an IRA with an additional $1,000 in catch-up contributions for folks that are 50 and older. I thought this article, being published in 2024, would have more relevant numbers. I've got the numbers for the self-directed 401 here up on another screen. I did not pull them up on IRAs, but I'll try to do so. Next break I have, I'll try to go find a summary. And I'm going to say again, if you're really interested in maximizing your contributions, the IRA is not the way to go. Now, if you're trying to get some retirement savings started for your children, then the IRA, specifically the Roth IRA, is absolutely very helpful, and it's the low-cost ticket to get into the retirement savings game, whether it's your kids or yourself. The problem is, or if there is a problem, it's that you can't do nearly as much. And I'll just whet your appetite. If you're talking about the self-directed 401, you're talking about a number that's 70 plus thousand a year. And I'll give you the details soon. Again, 7,000 versus 70,000. Big, big difference. And especially when you run that out in a Roth and you run it out, I don't know when you think you're going to pass away. I can tell you the IRS thinks that us males are going to live to age 85, 86, and females 87, 88. So think about the ability to not pay tax. Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's back up. I don't need to give you all the goods up front. We'll do that as we get to that final piece of our discussion today. Next, okay, so the pros, the benefits of the IRA are that IRAs are relatively easy to set up. They offer a wide range of very flexible investment options. Everyone who earns income may contribute to an IRA in addition to the other plans that we'll discuss here momentarily. The cons or the problems, and by the way, you could call the whole retirement arena one big con if you back up to the period before, say, the 80s, when there was no need to make personal contributions because your employer's plan was typically a defined benefit plan. And it took care of all of us well into, you know, through our retirement. And the defined benefit plan was typically based on the level that you'd been paid for a certain number of years. And it was entirely the employer obligation. And what happened was companies were getting in problematic territory on funding for those future obligations, and they begin to realize, you know, this is bigger than all of us, basically, the obligation. And so the brilliance and the ease with which they offloaded your retirement funds was amazing. Offloaded it to who? To you. You're now responsible for most of the retirement funding. Now, true, the employer will often match. You may still have some companies. I know I've got clients that are still getting the remnants of defined benefit plans with whoever they were with. You've got some of that in the municipal or the government market. And you know, it's the people that have those are, one, very lucky because they were able to ride in at the end of those, typically towards the end of the existence of those plans. And number two, they're very lucky if those organizations are still in business, because many companies went under back in the 80s because of the defined benefit plan, or they transitioned into the 401k model. For example, one company that I know did this, because I've worked on some of their employees, United Airlines is a good example, or I guess the combined United slash Continental Airlines that merged. And, you know, they've still got employees that have pieces of the original defined benefit plan. It may not be called that, but it was the style of the plan that I'm referring to. But they got pushed over to the 401k, and essentially most companies didn't terminate the existing plans. They simply said, okay, everyone that starts after this date is going to be in the 401k. In any event, so let's see, more negatives to the Roth IRA is that compared to other self-employment retirement options, IRAs offer, the negatives with regard to the IRA generally, forget about it being Roth or traditional. Compared to other retirement, self-employed retirement options, IRAs offer lower contribution limits. Available tax deductions may also be limited if you and your spouse file jointly and are covered by other retirement plans. And it's not to say you can't make non-deductible contributions, but one, you've still got limits, and two, you likely won't get the deduction for it, which speaks all the more for why you might want to do a Roth if you are going to do an IRA in addition to one of these other plans we're getting ready to discuss. With certain exceptions, withdrawing funds from a traditional IRA prior to reaching 59 and a half incurs a 10% penalty. So that's a big negative. Okay, the next type of self-employed retirement savings option is what we refer to as a SEP IRA. SEP, S-E-P, stands for Simplified Employee Pension IRA. The SEP IRA is a version of a traditional IRA that offers similar tax benefits, plus it has higher contribution limits. It's just as easy to set up a standard IRA for self-employment people and offers a similar level of flexibility. SEP IRA contribution limits, they're much higher than traditional IRA. For 2023, at least, self-employed individuals may contribute up to 25% of their adjusted net earnings, minus one half of the Social Security and Medicare taxes they pay, and the plan contributions you make for yourself can go up to a maximum of $66,000. So a significant increase over the traditional IRA. The negatives to the SEP IRA the positives are that they're easy to open, simple to maintain, and many of the best IRA custodians, people like Fidelity and Schwab, et cetera, also offer this type of plan with great investment options. And I guess that's relative to the market. It doesn't include the ability for you to invest in real estate private partnership syndications, which is what we see to have the most significant above average returns as an investment class. SEP or SEP contributions are tax deductible up to the maximum allowed per year and can be applied to the prior year's taxable income up to the due date, including extensions for the prior year's tax return. This is something that we really enjoy the freedom to do. And of course, it doesn't say it here, but I'm going to tell you as a CPA, this is another reason. If you're self-employed, you're making contributions to certain type of retirement plans like the SEP, to not file your return by the initial due date. And we'll have a show someday where that's all we talk about are the reasons that the best practice, I don't care who's telling you differently, whether it's your real estate mentor, I know we've got one here in Houston that doesn't seem to understand the jeopardy that he's putting his members in when he, you know, often not just discuss, he belabors the point that you should be filing your tax returns on time, not understanding that on time with a properly filed extension for an individual is October 15th. For an S-Corp, it's September 15th. And I'm going to tell you, if you're filing earlier, and I don't mean you're just sitting back waiting to file the first piece of paper in September and October. I mean you file the extension when due, March 15th for LLCs and S-Corps, and LLCs that file as S-Corps, and April 15th for individuals. And if you do that, you're potentially sidestepping a massive amount of headache because the biggest part of the audit quota gets satisfied. I'm talking about the random audit. I'm not talking about for returns that have amounts being claimed for certain categories of deductions that are well outside the averages. I mean, those returns can get pulled for audit easily, regardless of when they're filed. But I'm talking about the random every eighth return or whatever the number is. It's not eighth, or there's no way the audit numbers would be as low as they are. But the routine roulette wheel audit selection, the vast majority of those returns get selected out of the pre-April 15th filing. In any event, the ability to fund last year's retirement contribution up until September or October, depending on the entity style of next year, is, well, it's a beautiful thing. And if you're a small business person and you have cash flow constraints, you know exactly what I'm referring to. Let's see. The SEP IRA, another positive is that the contributions are non-exclusive with other IRA accounts, meaning you can still contribute to other IRAs up to the maximum contribution limits. The negatives, because SEP IRA contribution limits depend on your annual income, the amount you can save for retirement each year could vary. As with other IRA options, individuals cannot remove money from SEP IRAs prior to 59 and a half without incurring a 10% penalty, with very few exceptions. Okay, the next style is simple IRA contributions, or simple IRA plans. That's the colloquial term. SIMPLE stands for Savings Incentive Match Plan for Employees, i.e., a simple IRA. This IRA is designed for self-employed people and small business owners with 100 or fewer employees. The contribution limits are higher than a traditional IRA, but lower than a SEP. So for 2023, there's a limit, a contribution of up to $15,500 with additional catch-up contributions. And by the way, I should have mentioned, I think, let me look here. Well, okay, so catch-up contributions can be as much as $3,500 for participants who are 50 years of age or over. Individuals may also contribute either a 2% fixed contribution or 3% matching as an employer-sponsored match to the plan. So not bad, and this is an inexpensive type plan, but it doesn't get you even remotely close to the levels that we can get to with the self-directed 401. The positives of this type of plan, the simple IRA, one, their contributions are tax deductible. The plans tend to be easy to maintain with relatively few and low fees. These plans also allow self-employment individuals or self-employed individuals to contribute both as an employer and employee, allowing them to save more overall. The negatives are you cannot contribute to a simple IRA if you have another retirement plan. Like other IRAs, withdrawing funds prior to retirement age will mean paying a penalty of 10% and 25% if you do that within the first 2 years of participation. In addition, you cannot roll over funds from simple IRA to another plan within the first 2 years of participation. Okay, before we talk about the solo 401k, or as I refer to it, the self-directed 401 trust, let's take our last break and we'll circle back momentarily for the remaining segment, the only segment remaining of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
It cost, and I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones are made of my life, but I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. But I hope that you tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back to the last 10 minutes or so of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we've been discussing the types of retirement savings options that the self-employed, whether you're operating a full-time self-employment business like a consulting practice or a retail store or a accounting practice, law practice, things like this, or whether you're doing a side gig of any of the above, or driving for Uber. I mean, there's a lot of activities that qualify you to be self-employed. As long as you're not getting a W-2, I guess that would be the first hint or indication that you're self-employed, is if you receive a 1099 MISC or NEC, or you don't receive anything because you are making money, but there's no obligation of the customer to send 1099s. Things like operating your rental properties, unless you're doing short-term rental, for example, Airbnbs or Booking.com or Expedia, like we do, that is also self-employment related income in most cases. There are some exceptions. And if you're in that situation, you should be reporting those revenues and expenses over on Schedule C. If you're reporting on Schedule C or Schedule E, I'm sorry, for rental properties, then perhaps you don't meet the criteria of being a small hotel versus having a rental property. And that's a discussion for you to have with your tax preparer. Hopefully they're in the know on those rules. But anyway, passive rental activities is not what we're looking for when we want to qualify for self-employment. In any event, let me see if I've got just a good general discussion. I'm going to switch articles here just momentarily. Let's see. So employee contributions. I'm going to stop. I'm going to move right to the solo Roth discussion and the after-tax 401k. I'm not going to talk about the larger 401 plans, but in any event, the Roth solo 401k contribution limit is the same as the pre-tax contribution limit. If you contribute to both Roth and pre-tax retirement plans, your combined contributions cannot exceed the annual limitation. Employee contributions are not tax deductible to the employee, but may be treated as a business expense. When time comes to withdraw, withdrawals are tax-free as long as you are at least 59 and a half and have met the five-year aging requirement. Secure Act 2.0 now allows employers to make matching and profit sharing contributions to Roth accounts. This is off of Fidelity's website, and in any event, let's see, I was just trying to see what the what do they show here on the pre-tax contribution. Let's see, 25% of compensation after Social Security and Medicare taxes for the employer portion is what's allowed. So you have to make, let's say you wanted to contribute $35,000 as an example. You don't have to contribute the max. You've got to have a significantly higher net income. So times four, basically, so since 25% is the limitation. The IRS limits the amount of compensation that determines requirement contributions for 2024. That limit is $345,000. So that's the maximum. And then, of course, you take your 25% of that. Well, here's an example, Fidelity side. A consultant under the age of 50 with earned income of $100,000 can contribute $23,000 as an employee and up to $18,587 as the employer for a total of $41,487. Keep in mind that if you have access to a 401k plan, your employee contribution limit applies across all plans. And by the way, the solo 401 can only have yourself and or your spouse as an employee. And so, you know, that's the reason for the term solo, or as the IRS calls it, single employee benefit plan or retirement plan, I think is what the publication says. And so the difference, though, in the contribution limit, well, the amount of income really that has to be earned for the contribution limit for each of these two types of plans is interesting. If your solo 401k plan allows Roth contributions, the Roth solo 401k contribution limit is the same as the pre-tax limit. If you contribute to both Roth and pre-tax retirement plans, your combined contributions cannot exceed the annual limit. Employee contributions are not tax deductible to the employee, but may be treated as a business expense. Let's go on down, because I want to talk about after-tax solo 401k contributions. And this is a key strategy for those that are income limited from making Roth IRA contributions. If you've maxed out your employee catch-up, let me see if they're going to talk about it here. If not, I'll have to supplement. So if you've maxed out your employee catch-up, if you're eligible, contributions and employer contributions, and you still want to save more for retirement, check whether your plan allows for after-tax contributions, which all the plans we adopt for our clients do allow that. After-tax contributions may sound a lot like Roth contributions, but unlike Roth contributions that you've already paid taxes on, after-tax contributions are held in a traditional solo 401k account, meaning you eventually have to pay income taxes on a withdrawal of the earnings. To help minimize the future burden of tax contributions held in a pre-tax traditional solo 401k, you can either do an in-plan Roth conversion, if your plan allows, or roll over into a Roth IRA. These are, you know, I'll say right off the bat, this strategy is complicated, but it's very rewarding for those that might otherwise have some limitations. And we'll do another show soon where we do deeper dives on each of these 401 options, because the combination of pre-tax and Roth is something that we deal with often, because typically if we have a prospect that comes to us, they're an employee at a larger or a company that has a 401k plan, they've got significant amount of money tied up in that plan, even if they're not 59 and a half yet, or even if they don't want to separate from the employer, if you live in the great state of Texas, we have a legal maneuver that allows us to access those funds, and we roll them over as pre-tax, if that's where they're coming from, is a pre-tax 401k plan, or is Roth. And the beauty of the former style, if it's pre-tax, is that once we get them into the self-directed 401, then the client will typically invest those funds in real estate private partnership syndications, which is private company owned. And then we do the Roth conversion, and that allows us significant discounts to the amount that you may have invested that becomes the tax base that you pay the IRS for the Roth conversion. It's huge. And, you know, I look at articles like this article in Forbes, they don't even have a clue as to that option within the overall confines of the solo K or the self-directed 401k. And even most custodians that offer those plan documents, that's really about all they do for the solo K, they don't have the folks on hand that know how to execute these Roth conversions or these non-deductible conversions into Roth. And that's something that I would urge you with what we've got coming down the train tracks, i.e. the tax train that we refer to often on this show, you want to be in Roth. Trust me on that. When you combine real estate private partnership syndications and Roth conversions, you are so far ahead of any other option you have in terms of the cash flow or the retirement wealth that you will have established for the future. Because again, you're getting massive discounts on value, so your tax cost is less, and simultaneously you're in investments that have a much higher chance of providing above average rates of return. Okay, well, we're at the end of the show for this Friday. We'll be back on Sunday, 7 a.m. We've got our cybersecurity expert, Mr. Win-Win, coming again. And it will be a win-win if you get to tune in. He's very good. And we're going to be talking about the 3 billion person data breach that occurred yesterday, and tell you what you need to do if you were one of those 3 billion people. Thanks for tuning in, and we will be back again on Sunday. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.